Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Healing Spirit and Beyond. My name is Roxy Sakura, and I'm so glad that you tuned in this evening. I'm trying to get all the bugs out of Blog Talk Radio. Apparently, since it's the new year, there's lots of little cobwebs in here. So just cleaning up a little bit so we can get a clearer broadcast out to you this evening. And joining me this evening is my co-host, which through the magic of pressed buttons, I'll see if I can get her on here with me. I know she's feeling a little under the weather, but my co-host is Carrie Cox, and hopefully she should be on. Hello.
I am here. My voice isn't totally here, but I am here.
It sounds like you're in Alaska.
What's that?
It sounds like you're in Alaska.
I know. I'm so muffled. Oh, my gosh. I sound like I'm actually yelling, and I'm sure I'm not. I'm sure I'm probably really quiet, but right now it sounds like I'm yelling. So bear with me, everybody.
Oh, no. Well, welcome to our first show of 2016 together, everyone. And first of all, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I around the holidays, I stopped and checked in on the back end of our show on Blog Talk to see what's been going on since we've been gone, you know, what shows people have been listening to, if people have been listening. And I was really, really surprised to see how many people had been listening since we took a break in late September. It was really a surprise to me, you know, since we said we were going to be off the air for a little while with all the insanity that a New England fall brings. I could not believe how many people had been listening to our episodes. And that is just really, really amazing and very encouraging. And I really hope that you all have been getting the best out of listening to our shows. I decided to do this with Carrie about a year ago, and we didn't really know where it was going to go. Initially, we had thought that, you know, we'd do a bi-weekly show, see if anybody was interested. You know, we always have long, interesting conversations, usually into the middle of the night. And next thing you know, we were on weekly talking about all kinds of stuff. I'm really excited about all the new shows that we were doing last year and constantly coming up with new ideas and topics to talk about. And it also gave us a great avenue for us to talk about things that we were experiencing together. So, you know, again, I feel really blessed that everybody's been listening and that you're all excited to be back on with us in 2016. I just wanted to open the show with that, and I didn't know, Carrie, if you had any input. I'll probably be doing most of the talking this evening, but I'll throw it over to you to see if you have anything that you'd like to add, of course, from time to time.
Like you said, you know, this February will be a year since we started this, and same as you, I didn't think it was really going to be, you know, touching as many people as it does, and that itself, knowing that, you know, the people that we've helped along the way of the episodes that we have done, you know, different callers that call in and, you know, tell us that, you know, how much we've helped them or understand something better. And, you know, we are going to strive to do the same thing this year and, you know, bring you more information on how to make yourself better and how to make that community that everybody is striving for to be stronger and better connected. And I think 2015 some people have took a really big step and realized who they truly are. You know, I myself went through a lot of changes in 2015, physically, emotionally. And looking back now, I was sitting with my sister and I'm like, you know, let's do the high and low game. And the high and low game is, you know, what was your high of the year? What was your low of the year? And, you know, we've lost people out of our lives. And, you know, not that they've passed, but we've chosen to move on from them to make ourselves better. And looking back at that point in time, it was low. But now that we're looking, it's a high. And I've talked to other people just recently that have been, like, talking about cleansing themselves. They're cleansing the negative people out of their lives, and I think that's a big thing that we've always talked about on here. You know, and a high is having my community, and, you know, the things that I've gone through this year, I couldn't have done it without having, you know, my community, my back support, such as Roxy, with me. You know, I went and had a major surgery to better myself, and I renewed my vows with my husband, and Roxy led the ceremony, which was absolutely amazing, and I just loaded more pictures of it today because I keep finding more and more. You know, so it was definitely a big year for our family, and I don't foresee 2016 being much different while looking forward to just moving on and making our lives better and making ourselves better and be happy because we're here and it's in the now.
It was, you know, a year of lots of new beginnings in many ways for everybody, and I was very honored to be part of the ceremony and, of course, to be part of the surgery. I know those are, you know, those are never easy moments for people, and, you know, it's events like those that really make you stop and look at community, and it may even help you redefine the word family. You know, family isn't just what you're born into, but the people that you bring around you. And, you know, major events like that will make you stop and take a look at and say, all right, so who do I really feel, you know, I want with me, or who do I want in attendance, or who makes me feel good, or who, you know, who don't I want in attendance? You seem to go through these you know, ebbs and flows, where it's funny how everything happens all at the same time to make a stop and reassess where we are, and then we get back into the flow of things. And I think that's a really good thing because it keeps everything in check and it keeps us, you know, looking around us and paying attention to, you know, what we're putting out there, as, you know, as what the universe is sending us as far as people and attitudes, and working our way through things. And I think it is a continual process, but it's funny how things just seem to come together all around the same time. And the fall definitely was it for both of us, and in many ways with different things coming up and causing us to step back and reassess where we were and, you know, take a look at where we were and make plans to move forward. So I think certainly speaking for both of us, you know, we all hope that fall was a great time of transition for everyone that's listening and people in our circles, and for those of you that will be listening in the future and in the archives. You know, fall is all about transformation, and you have to be willing to embrace change, and change can be scary for some people. It can be challenging for others, but things will not move ahead unless you get into the flow and accept that change. And you never know what's on the other side of that, how you might feel about things. You know, you might play things as you might think that they're going to be in your head, but you really don't know until you get on the other side of that transformation. So, you know, now that we're in the time of winter, it's, you know, it's a time to go, you know, inside yourself and to kind of mind down and, you know, see what's going on. And, of course, we've transitioned after the holidays, and that's always a crazy time for people. I think for myself, it was a little bit more of a reflective time, just kind of stepping back and, you know, seeing where 2015 ended, and now it's 2016. So what story you know, do you want to write for yourself in the new year, and how can you plant those seeds and, you know, start nurturing those parts of yourself that need attention for the new year. So it's an exciting time. It really is, coming out of that transition. You know, you feel sometimes that you've shed some of what needed to be shed, and now it's time to grow yourself anew. And I think there's always, you know, the promise of new blessings when you start looking at the new year. So yeah, we're past winter solstice, which is pretty amazing. The days are very, very, very slowly getting longer for some of us, and I think that was one of the things that I was trying to consider with tonight's show, is to talk about some of the things that we discovered in the fall that might help you throughout this winter. Everything from Oracle card decks. Yes, I could not stop getting more in my collection, to some books that I've picked up. And I know Carrie and I did some events that we want to talk about as well. So, you know, different things that you can kind of take in, see what you're looking for. You know, maybe something will resonate with you that we'll talk about tonight that will kind of help propel you into 2016. I think I'm a firm believer in that, you know, the right information gets out there and the right people hear it at the right time. And, you know, that's hopefully one of the goals that we'll meet with this evening's show. So anything you want to add from there on out about, you know, what's going on for 2016, how you're feeling about it, and then we'll do a 2015 fall recap.
I think, you know, I actually had somebody last week asked me about something that was very personal that was going on in my family, ask if I felt like I did the right choice and if I have any regrets in the choices that I made. And I never felt so much more relieved that this person asked this. And for me to be able to stand tall and not feel like I have had to hesitate on the answer or, you know, not come clean, and I actually was able to stand there without, you know, wanting to break down and cry and be like, yeah, I made a better choice because I made the choice for me and not for them. And I know a lot of people went through that shedding of, you know, doing what's good for them and not what's for others. And I know a lot of us, you know, as much as we talk about it, and I know that we deal with it ourselves, and, you know, other people ask how you deal with it, and you really have to put you first, and, you know, other people aren't going to make you the person that you want to be. You have to be that person, and, you know, if that's meaning that you have to walk away from people that are making you not, you know, be the person that you can be, then, you know, down the road, it's going to reflect on who you're going to become, and I'm excited to see what 2016 brings as far as what has happened in 2015, and to see, you know, what this community is going to bring and offer to everybody. And I'm really excited because I feel like I have a lot to offer this year. And, you know, just being a better person and feeling better about myself, and that in itself, when you feel good about yourself and you feel good about where you are, that's when you're able to help people. And that's when you're able to help them get where they need to go. But you can't depend on people to change that for you. So I just really wanted to put that out there because I personally know some people that are really struggling with that. And I, you know, tell them all the time that, you know, you got to be the change. You got to be the person to do it. You can't expect everybody else to do it for you. Unfortunately, there's not an easy button that we can all just push and have it magically happen for us. But, you know, every season comes and it's a new change. You can, you know, have that new change every season, and not just every season, but every day is a different opportunity. So I think that in 2016, we really need to thrive on grabbing that and running with it and seeing where it takes us and just kind of going with it. And I know that's my plan this year, is getting out and doing as much as I possibly can and just going with it and have fun.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good wisdom in what you just said. You know, every day is an opportunity. You know, I think we're more aware of it now that the, you know, the calendar is back at the beginning, and it's like we have a clean slate to start the year with. But you really do have a clean slate every single day. to go ahead and make that change or reevaluate where you are or to try something new or, you know, or to get out there, even if you're nervous about something and, you know, learn a little bit more about it, to be more engaged. And I think that's a pretty important message for the winter time because we all tend to disengage. You know, we all tend to crawl back, you know, into our little cozy caves, which I am very, very, very guilty of right now, and stay there for a while. So, yeah, think about, you know, every day being, a blank canvas in which you can paint on and, you know, just the beginning of the year being the biggest canvas at all. You know, what can you set into motion? So speaking of motion, we left off in late September, just on the brink of the autumnal equinox. And, you know, that's when all the worlds collide for us. That's when the slate for every day is overfilled, in fact, running off the page for some of us. And it was a beautiful fall. I really have to tell you, here in New England, we didn't see a lot of rain. The weather was very mild. We didn't get any snow. So it really could not have been any better. I think I may have had like one tour I had to cancel due to weather in October, and that's really saying a lot. So it was just glorious. Unfortunately, it goes by so incredibly fast. Like, okay, when did I actually have time to enjoy any of it? Because mm-hmm. it is such a time of work. But I certainly hope, you know, everybody got out and enjoyed the fall wherever they were. The energy was definitely in the air. I know for me personally, it was a very exciting time, not only because of the tours that I do, really, you know, hitting the peak of season for the year, but also the opening of Dedwick's Ethereal Emporium in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which was intended initially to be a pop-up magic, spiritual, all kinds of esoteric ghost stories. Like, you can't even categorize what this store is or was. And that was really exciting to spend time at a new little home base in Portsmouth, which was pretty amazing to see for the first time. Definitely something out of Harry Potter. You know, it almost was like a trip down to Diagon Alley, you know, right here on the seacoast, less than a mile from my house. How cool was that? So that was a nice little home base, and I really send a shout-out out there to Pickwick's Mercantile for approaching me at the beginning of the season and having me deeply involved with Dedwick's. And it was a very sad feeling to know that the pop-up shop was going to close on November 1st, and believe it or not, it was so well received by the public that they decided they were going to open up for an additional month, starting on Black Friday through Christmas Eve. And, well, as fate would have it, it was another amazing month. And I'm really excited to say the store has not closed and will not be closing. It is going to remain open, seeking a new location permanently for next year. And how that translates for me is that is a great home for you to come and see me for tarot card readings, for you to pick up like some of the really coolest items that you've ever seen. It is just the coolest shop ever. And again, I'm very, very grateful to be part of it. And part of the beauty of being at Dedwick's was, you know, not only did we have home base for the tours, but we got to do some great workshops and classes and really reach out to the community there. I can't tell you how many new people I met at Dedwick's over the month that were coming from all points of the compass. One of the classes that I did, I actually had someone come up from Western Massachusetts and someone else come up from Rhode Island just to take one of my classes. So I was really, really super stoked about that. And the feedback was just really amazing. And it was an opportunity for Carrie and I to sit down and not only have a class together, but to also do our seance. Last year, in 2014, we did a seance in Portsmouth at another location, which is pretty amazing, although we tended to go really, really late with that one, making sure that every single person in our audience had an experience. I think we were pretty much done by 2 a.m. It was quite the evening, so we decided to scale it back a little bit for 2015, keeping it to more of an hour and a half, two-hour format. And, of course, it was in a different location. And Dedwick's, by the way, is in an old parlor of an old it's a 19th-century row house. Dates back to, like, around 1820 is the house that we're in. So it's this great big giant parlor atmosphere that we're in, which is really cool. It's, like, little pre-Victorian, late colonial. It's really, really neat. So we decided that we were going to do our seance there. And holy cow, it sold out with a waiting list. And we didn't really know what to expect because you never know what's going to happen at a seance. You never know who's going to show up or, you know, how the audience is going to be. You never really know. It's one of the things where you go in and, you know, your main goal is to make sure to protect the circle and protect the people that are in there, go in with the right intention, and, you know, then really call in those energies that are there. And would you or would you not say we were, like, packed to the gills in there?
I think we were beyond packed. There was literally no moving around. Once you found your seat, you kind of just stayed there. I remember, you know, we were being escorted out the front door to the back door so that we could be in front of the crowd. And it was just the night itself, it definitely went by quick. At the same time, there were moments where it felt like it was standing still because we had some really intense spirits move in, and it definitely was a night to remember. It was really, really good. People were really, like, in tune. Nobody broke the circle. And, you know, everybody that was there really wanted to be there. You know, I didn't really notice anybody that was there because they were dragged there by a friend or, you know, the spouse, whatever. Everybody was really excited. I can remember I was there. Roxy was on tour, so I got there a little bit before she did, and we had people lining up, and one of the workers there, you know, were asking people if they had tickets, and they're like, no, we just thought we could come in and join, and they're like, oh, well, there's already a waiting list. So meanwhile, they're still taking names the night of, you know, within 20 minutes before the event was taking place. So, you know, if you are in that New England area, as soon as it's posted, get on that list.
Yeah, definitely. And our goal with the seance, of course, and any events that we're doing is to get that information out as soon as possible. I think last year for the seance, we had the information out. I think it was somewhere in July or August. We had already said that we were going to do it again. We just hadn't announced the location of where it's going to be. So I anticipate it will probably be an earlier announcement this year. So honestly, if you are even mildly interested, definitely, you know, jump on board as soon as you're able to, because it is such limited space. And I know Halloween, everybody's looking for something to do. People automatically, you know, are drawn to more of the spirit side of things. So yeah, definitely. So you don't get turned away at the door, because we hate to turn people away. We really, really do. And we were so concerned about how many people to have in the space. We had to check fire codes, and we had to have enough chairs, and, like, the capacity of the room just could not take any more people. We were truly, truly at our limit. But it was really, really amazing. I think, you know, again, not everybody, if you haven't been to a seance before, not everybody knows what to expect. And I know right out of the gate, one of the people that you were channeling and that I was tuning into wasn't really too sure about the spirit that was with her, she's like, oh, you know, I don't know. And she actually happened to be a student of mine that I hadn't seen for a while. She was a regular student of mine probably about 8 or 9 years ago. And I know she's very open and she's very on board. And she's like, no, I just can't think of who it is. And, you know, Carrie kept just giving her more and more details about who it was that was trying to get a hold of her. And she was like kind of on track. You know, towards the end of the evening, like she kind of knew who it was, but didn't quite understand why. And then as soon as the next day came, she had texted me. She's like, oh my God, like I totally get it. And it didn't make sense right away, but I understand now and I know what to do with that message. So it was pretty funny. So that's, you know, kind of one of the things that I think we always try to put out there is it doesn't always happen in the way you expect it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And she, I mean, sometimes, you know, they only give you a limited amount of information. You know, it's as much information as they want to give you. I can't pry it out of them. So when I'm, like, trying to push that information and be like, no, it's really for you, she did seem really confused at first. But, you know, she was very open-minded and she took it in and, you know, she wasn't pushing it away by any means. And, you know, she was writing stuff down. She actually had multiple connections that night with different spirits that came in with her. So she was very open, I mean, enough to where she was allowing multiples to come in. And, you know, she was right in deadline with another woman that was there that was getting a reading as well. And two of the spirits kept crossing each other so much that they were confusing me on who was supposed to go where. But, you know, one of them came in and he was just so distraught, which made, you know, me distraught because I was trying to figure out where he was. And, you know, it was a really sad story of the things that took place for his story. You know, it was suicide and his sister was really looking for answers. And, you know, I gave her some details and a couple numbers that nobody else would have known of. And it really broke her. And I felt sad that, you know, it did in such a way. But in another way, you know, I saw her leave and, you know, I was kind of like, oh, no, you know, she's done for the night. And it was, you know, at the beginning of the night, it just started. And she just kind of took a breather and she went outside and she came back in and she was completely open to it. You know, she had so many questions that she wanted to ask and she wanted to keep connection with him. And you know, the rest of the people that were in her group, some of them didn't come back in because it just hit too hard on some of the details. But you know, when you're going to a seance, that's what you really have to be open to, is be open to all of it, because sometimes you're going to get information that you may not have been expecting to get, or you may not even be ready to get. You know, and I made sure that she was open to me giving her the information. And so when I was just kind of blurting out all the information, she, you know, really took it hard. It was supposed to be a suicide pact, and he was the only one that did it, and the rest of them, you know, backed out, obviously. And so she's still really dealing with it, and that happened, you know, 10-plus years ago. So she's really still dealing with all that, and that's a lot of stuff that we talk about on here, is trying to overcome that and deal with that. And when we see it firsthand and spirits are coming to us firsthand, it kind of puts us on the other side of the fence of not just talking about it, and now we're living it with them. But, yeah, the whole night was just, you know, it just shook everybody. You know, everybody was at the edge of their seats. Everybody was, like, so content, you know, watching, and everybody was so grateful. And that's the biggest part is, you know, when people are walking up to us at the end of the night and they're saying thank you, and, you know, they're just so relieved to know that their loved ones are okay. And I actually remember one of the older guys that was sitting there, and, you know, he was kind of, he was with his wife. I think he wanted to be there, but he was kind of quiet at the same time. And his mom had come through, and I'm, like, spitting out different things to him, and then I brought up the recipe, and that right there broke him. Like, you could see, like, a whole new, like, brain just came over him, and he kind of had, like, a lighter smile on his face. And but it was a great night. It really was a great night.
It was, and, you know, I think one of the takeaways or, I guess, suggestions that I would have if, you know, if you come to one of our seances or if you attend a seance, depending on how it's conducted, if someone gives you an opportunity to speak up or ask questions and you're curious, you know, first the caveat is, you know, be open, obviously. You know, I don't think you should be at a seance if you're not open. That's just kind of the way I feel about it, having done enough of them and attended enough of them. But the second thing is, if you have an opportunity to ask a question or to make a connection, or if you are even mildly curious, I highly recommend, certainly if it's Carrie and I that are there, to raise your hand and ask. You know, we had a room of, I think it was close to 50 people. And, you know, I want people to walk away having, you know, feeling that they got the most out of the event, that it really blew their expectations away. I don't want people to walk away and say, geez, you know, I wish I had asked this, or, you know, I wish I had known this. That is the perfect opportunity for you to speak up. So, you know, I highly, highly suggest that. I know there were some people that were quiet and observing and just kind of seeing how it went and felt it out, just to be in attendance. And that's totally cool, too. Like, if you just want to see what happens and how spirit works, I think that's amazing. You know, that's a great first step in just kind of getting yourself acquainted to, you know, what goes on at a seance. But then, you know, like I said, if there's someone that you have a burning question about, you know, please, please speak up. Or even if you're sensing something. And I immediately, when I was getting towards the end of the seance, I kept feeling this calf that was down by my feet. And I'm like, what is going on here? There's some kind of cat here. And it was actually someone, again, that was there, and it was their animal that was there. And, you know, we're open to all kinds of spirits, but just, you know, don't be afraid to speak up. Certainly, Carrie and I aren't ogres. We're not going to diminish any question that you have to us, and it actually might help. I know on the tours and events that I do, generally speaking, people are fairly comfortable with speaking up. And I think this setting is, again, another opportunity for you just to go ahead and ask questions, or, you know, see if you can, you know, let us know about somebody that you're trying to connect with, because the room does get full, I have to tell you. And the energy was really, really strong there. In fact, it was so strong that I think like 2 seconds after I said something about the alarms going off, the smoke alarm went off in the room. And I think I jumped like 10 feet when the smoke alarm went off. And I was like, okay, so this is how much energy we're raising in the room, people. We raised enough to set the alarm off. So just, you know, just something to, you know, to be aware of, the unexpected, bring your questions. And, you know, again, there are no stupid questions. It was also nice to see some people that had come to the seance last year, again in 2014, just to see how things go. So that was kind of cool to see those folks again. And I thought overall it was it went really, really well. Again, I know it was shorter than the seance we had done in the previous year, but that seance that we did previously started about 9:30 and didn't end until about 2 a.m. And that that's a really big night. That's a really big night for us. So I know this go round was about, again, an hour and a half to 2 hours. So that's why when we said, if you got a question, get it on out there. So seance was great. That was on Halloween or Samhain, and it was you know, full of all sorts of awesome energy, and we definitely had a lot to talk about. You know, when we were done, and it was awesome, and I'm definitely looking forward to doing it again. And the next day, and Carrie got to sit back and participate, although the invitation was there if you wanted to stand up with me. but I know you were like already zonked from the night before. We did a Day of the Dead tea and ceremony, which was much more low-key than the seance, still using a lot of that same energy. It was a bit smaller. We decided to have a, you know, have the tea be a bit smaller. I think we were only taking like 16 or 18 people. I think we ended up at like 16, which was fine for space sake. So everybody could have tea. And, I really, really enjoyed that. I got a lot of, amazing immediate feedback from people that had come. You know, if you're not familiar with Day of the Dead, it's honoring our friends and ancestors and relatives, you know, by way of sharing stories, did an invocation. We set the set a place setting for our spirits that were there. We called in their favorite foods. We made a beautiful altar. I think the picture of the altar should be on this page. If it's not, I'll put it on here. I'll add it to our gallery. It was just so beautiful, and we also had animals. Their presence at that circle as well. We had absolutely gorgeous sugar skull cookies. Shout out to the Series Street Bakery. Oh my God, some of the most beautiful and delicious cookies I have ever seen in my life. Beautiful, beautiful cookies, wonderful tea ceremony, lots of memories being shared, lots of really comforting energy, and I really, really enjoyed the Day of the Dead ceremony very, very much. I thought it was kind of a nice way to round out a, you know, a whole month of, you know, workshop circles. Do you have any thoughts on the Day of the Dead, even though I know you were sitting in my cozy chair? Kind of taking it all in.
It was, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I wanted to participate more, but my energy level was just so down. And, you know, we had some really intense occasions, you know, at the seance the night before, and it kind of wiped me out. So I was like, you know, I'm going to kind of just like, you know, sit back and watch it all play out. And it was just such a nice, calm group. It was like such a romantic setting, and it was so laid back. That's the first time ever I was actually able to get into a meditation state. And for me, that is like the hardest ever. So I was all excited that I actually got to be able to do that. But it was just so relaxing after such a big hustle and bustle day. And the people that came in and the spirits that they got in with them were just so kind and so loving, and it was just a really nice kickback time.
It was. I really, like I said, just enjoyed it immensely. I thought it was, you know, just the perfect thing, like I said, to round the month out. I just was so glad that we had an opportunity to do that, and we will definitely be doing that again next year. So I am super, super excited to do that. And let's see. So trying to remember everything that we did in October. So from there, it was, you know, it was just a busy month in, you know, in general, you know, meeting lots of people on the tours, having them share their questions, and it was just really, really, you know, awesome to see so many people, you know, brought to this path in many different ways. You know, some people would just be coming to Portsmouth just for a visit, or, you know, checking out the spooky stuff, but there was always like another layer underneath of, you know, whether it was curiosity or something had happened or there was a story that they wanted to share. It was just so cool, you know, to see all of that come together, you know, in its own way, very organically, you know, people saying, well, geez, I didn't expect, you know, to be talking about this, or, you know, I didn't expect that this would come up, or it's just, you know, just really, really cool. And again, you know, the opportunity to meet so many people was pretty awesome. So always, you know, always looking forward to another exciting fall. You know, even though the month goes by so quickly, it's one of the months that you're just like, oh, you know, could this just go on for like 3 months? Could October be 90 days? Does it have to end on the 31st? So that kind of, you know, that's a, like a real brief summary of October, because there was a so much that went on. You know, I did a lot of speaking engagements here, there, and everywhere, which was really cool. In fact, I've already booked some for this coming October, so that's super cool as well. My women's circle also wound down around the same time. We made it through, we made it through the beginning of September. Then you came to the open circle that we had for autumn equinox, which was really cool to have you come down for that circle. And then I stopped facilitating circle after that for 2 months. But do you have any rememberings of the circle that we did for autumn equinox?
I do. It was definitely what I needed. You know, like I said, October, in that, you know, it's such a blur anyways, but when you come up, you know, we had our vow renewal, so I was working on, you know, focusing on so much of my energy on that and making sure everything was set for that. So being able to come into this circle, and I was, I think there was like 3 people that I knew, so I really got to be in an environment where I was able to see other people kind of be, like, peeled apart and, you know, see what they were hoping for and what they were putting ahead of them and, you know, what they wanted to have as an outcome. And, you know, and then at the beginning of November, I had surgery. So I was able to put all of my fears and my wishes and wants and energy all into this circle. And, it was just such an amazing feeling. And, you know, of course, we had Stacy in the circle, and we've had Stacy on the show with us. And whenever I'm around her, I just want to bottle her up, because her energy is like, it's like a catching a cold. It's so loving and so warming. And, oh, my gosh, I want to be around that energy all the time. And seeing her sitting across the circle, and every time she talked, she just glowed, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, she just put such a good vibe into the circle. And then, you know, when you had everybody participate in every step of the circle, it just absolutely opened everybody up. And, you know, there was me including, you know, I become very quiet around a lot of people I don't know, so I was able to open up into the circle because there was no judgment, and, you know, there were no people that you had to worry about what can you say and what can't you say. We even had a man in the circle that night, and you wouldn't even, it wasn't like, okay, there's a guy there and the rest of us are all women. It was just, we were all one. It didn't matter. So it was definitely amazing, and I can't wait to get back into another one. Unfortunately, you know, my drive is a little bit more, but I will definitely be attending the next one. It's very cleansing. I had a blast that night.
It was a lot of fun. Especially being the autumnal equinox, it was really cool. We had a lot of people in circle that night, and some people that was their first time for attending a circle, which I thought was really neat, because an open circle, you never know, you know, who's going to come or what their expectations are going to be. And it was really cool. And I'm so glad that you were able to make it. I know it's a bit far for you to make our regular circle, which is all the way across the state. And thankfully we were able to start circle again in December. So we started our third round of circle the first Wednesday in December. We're almost halfway through this session, and we'll be opening up a new session in the middle of March. And I think right now we're at about 10 women, which is great. It's such an interesting dynamic of people. And Stacy, if you haven't listened to Stacy's show, by the way, go back to the archive and listen to Stacy's show so you can totally understand what Carrie's talking about as it relates to Stacy's energy. She is just such a wonderful up person. And all of our ladies make such great contributions to Circle. And if you haven't gone to a woman's circle, no matter where you are, definitely feel free to just, you know, Google women's circles that are out there. There are some websites where they do virtual circles, so you could do you know, something online, kind of like a virtual, you know, kind of like a virtual meeting. That type of energy to be able to connect to that is pretty amazing. And, you know, I feel very lucky to be the facilitator of one that meets every 2 weeks. So, in fact, we're meeting tomorrow, and we're doing a croning, which is just really going to be so much fun. You know, there's the maidenhood, there's the motherhood, and then there's the cronehood. So it's acknowledging and honoring the wise woman. And we have we do have a couple of crones in our circle, and we're going to be doing a croning for one of them tomorrow, honoring her on her path and her wisdom, and, you know, talking about, you know, how society looks, you know, not terribly favorably on the elderly. You know, everything today is all about youth and being vibrant, and the media is so damaging when it comes to that. So we want to turn that around and talk about, you know, our elders and how important they were to the community and the wisdom that they have to share and all of those wonderful things that come with age that people tend to overlook. So that's what we'll be tackling in Circle tomorrow. So those are the types of things that we do in Circle. We raise energy, we build an altar. And again, if you have not checked into a Circle somewhere, really, you need to find, you know, one even online or read up on it. It's really, really worth it. So, you know, I guess that's kind of an update on the fall. Again, you know, really kind of a high level there, because there was so much that happened in that very, very short period of time. You know, it's pretty much a blink of an eye, and, you know, everything that you've been planning for all summer long and everything that you've been working on all just kind of is here and gone. And then you start thinking about next year and what you want to do. And we're already tossing around ideas for this coming fall. And there's a few things getting ready to pop onto the calendar here and there as well. So we'll keep you informed, our lovely listeners, as to what's going on with us and where you can find us and what we're working on. And that's really cool. And I know you had come on a few of the tours as well. Say, I can't get away from October. Like, I thought I was like totally going to segue into the next subject, but I forgot. We didn't talk about you coming on some of the tours. See, we're never going to stop talking about the fall. No, we really will. Is there anything that kind of sticks out to you about, you know, about going into the cemeteries, or any particular incident on the tours that you kind of remember from the fall?
I think the biggest thing is going on the tours is just, I love standing back and watching everybody take everything in, you know, especially when you start, you know, interacting with Elizabeth and, you know, you have a thousand rods out. The reaction that people have, and you can really pick out the people that, you know, are totally believing, and, you know, they have believed the whole time, and then, you know, there you have the other ones that are kind of on the fence, not really knowing if they believe yet or if they, you know, are still on the opposite side. But then you have the children, which are so pure and just sucking it all in. And I just love the fact that these parents don't shelter their kids from going on the event, you know, at the tours, and let their kids learn the history and connect with these spirits. And, you know, I can remember a couple of the girls that you've had on the tour before that were just so in tune with everything. And, you know, I can remember sitting there telling your husband and my husband, I'm like, I want to sit down and have a conversation with that little girl, and just, like, I want to know what's in her head. But I think that's the biggest thing that's going on the tours, is really watching all the types of people that come out. And it's really different. Like, you can go on a tour in the beginning of September, and then you go on a tour in the beginning of October, and it's totally, completely different. The atmosphere is different. The people are different. you know, and we've talked about that before, that it just brings out, October brings out a whole new of people. And, you know, the ones that came in as non-believers walk out as believers, and, you know, we can hear people and they're like, oh my God, did you see that? As, you know, we're walking back out of the cemetery. And, yeah, it's definitely, that's my biggest thing, is I like watching people's expressions. And, you know, I get to sit back and, like, listen to what everybody's talking about and report back. But that's my biggest thing, is going on the tours, is being able to be the standby and see what everybody's taking in and what everybody's doing.
It is definitely interesting seeing how people react not only to the ghost stories that are told, but to the energy that's there. You never know how it's going to hit someone. You never know what spirit's going to communicate, what story's going to come out. Oftentimes, it seems like it comes from people who are very unlikely. You know, sometimes people that are at the back of the crowd, those that just seem to be taking it in. And it is different every time. October is definitely very different as well. You know, we do get a different amount of people. I think people in general are more, and this is just a generalization, are more into the spirits in October. Of course, we know they're around all year long, not just in October. But mm-hmm. people's sensitivity seems to be up a little more. Shall we say their antenna might be up a little bit more in October? So, October's really, really cool. And we've been very fortunate to have been able to continue doing the ghost tours on Friday nights via trolley. So instead of ending our season in the middle of November, we are still going. It's a little bit different now because we're not parading through the cemetery, which is really my favorite thing to do, but we're still riding around looking at the history and hearing ghost stories, which is cool because I had no idea, you know, people would still be into this in December because I figured, oh, holidays are coming, ghost stories have gone away, and no, people are still into it. So that's very, very cool. So okay, so now I swear I'm done with October. I think I'm good with October. Although I do remember Carrie had ordered some new cards that I actually got to take a peek at. This is a perfect segue. This is very dangerous.
It is. Oh, my gosh. It's funny because I was just telling, I was asked, you know, what books are good to read about the spirit life and doesn't get too, how do I want to say this, doesn't get too fake and commercialized in the book, you know, books that really keep it true to heart. And that's where the cards came into play when I was, you know, given recommendation. And the new card set that I got, and which are taking some time to definitely figure out the way of using them because they're not my my go-to cards. And I really want to work with these cards because they're beautiful, and I will list them on the on our Facebook page. But they're the Halloween Oracle, and they're Lifting the Veil Between the Worlds Every Night by Stacey DeMarco, and the illustrations are just absolutely beautiful on them. And you know, some people are like, you may think that they're too dark or they don't look friendly enough, but you know, I learned through Roxy, you know, you can't go buy cards on, you know, what their picture is, and that's kind of what you have to do with these ones. But they're so whimsical, and they are definitely on that Halloween vibe, and I'm definitely excited to get to know them more and have them, you know, come to me more and more as my regular cards. And, you know, always my go-to cards are the Talking to Heaven by James von Prague and Thorn Virtue. And recently I've been playing... I always say playing, and I don't know why, but I've been playing with the Adventures of Soul for James von Prague as well, and it's the Soul Journey cards, and they've been kind of like putting my year of what I want to do out there for me. And, you know, I may pull one, or I may do like a whole setup for myself. But anyone that's looking for something like that, James Von Prague and Dwayne Virtue, their cards are absolutely amazing. And the detail of artwork on them are beautiful. Talking to heaven, it doesn't matter. You always need a box of tissues.
That's the crying cards. They're known as the crying cards in
yes,
my world.
Yes.
Roxy, did you bring the crying cards? Yep, I brought the crying cards. Yep.
Yeah. they're very powerful. They're very to the point. You know, when people, they really don't know what to expect when you tell them what cards they are. They're like, okay. And, you know, when you start laying them out and, you know, they have that one person in mind and they start seeing the message, it really hits them. And that's where the crying comes in, because you're not expecting the message that you got. But they're very forward, very easy to use. I highly, highly recommend them. You can pretty much get them anywhere now. And the other couple books, because I know we've mentioned that we're going to mention a couple books, I have found myself going back to a book by Lisa Williams, and it's called Life Among the Dead. The book, and I always tell people, be very open when reading this book and be prepared to possibly learn things that you may not already know about the afterlife. When I read this book when it first came out a few years ago, it really hit me hard, and I kind of had to put the book down and walk away from it a couple times. But once I finished it, I picked it back up and started reading it again, and I have found myself, I picked that book up again, and I also picked James Von Prague's book up again of Growing Up in Heaven, and I am bouncing back and forth reading both of those books again. For me, myself, of losing, you know, whether it's a child or pregnancy or, you know, anything of the sort, he really teaches you in that book of how you can reconnect and stay connected, and he tells you, you know, what it is that they're doing on the other side, and that it's just doesn't go away. And, you know, we talk about that on here. But those books, I will have them listed. I highly, highly recommend them. They are a really good teaching tool. They're a good book to have in your toolbox, which Steve or open up to the toolbox when Stacey was here. Those books are in my toolbox. They're my go-to books. They're almost like a fallback, a comfort book for me. I'm the same with his cards. And but right now, I have a couple different card sets that I'm looking at, and I haven't made up my mind yet, so we shall see where that goes.
It's funny how we put books down, and then we find ourselves back on them for one reason or another. It's you know, spirit sometimes guides us to a certain resource, and we're sometimes not ready for it. And we have to go back, and when we're ready, take a look at it, and that information is, you know, is available to us. So I'm totally on board with that. And I love the crying cards too. We don't even call them the James Von Prague cards in my world over here. They're the crying cards. We all know what that means. You have to have the box of tissues with the cards, but they're
uh-huh.
good. They're healing and they're confirming. You know, if you are wondering if spirit is communicating with you, or people on the other side are communicating with you, if you have burning questions, those cards will gently bring you the answers. And you know, tears are healing. They're healing. Let the healing happen. It's okay. The Halloween Oracle that we talked about a little bit by Stacey DeMarco, I really have to add that to my collection. The cards are beautiful. They're almost 3D. They are so gorgeous. And I like Halloween. If you're not really into Halloween, these cards are probably not for you. They're not scary in any way. They're very artfully done. They're very tastefully done. And they're a nice size. They're a great quality. If you're looking for cards to use for the fall season, a beautiful deck of cards. If you're going to a Halloween party, I think people would just love them. Keep in mind there is not a ton of cards in this particular deck. I think there's 36. But that's enough for you to get some good reading. So I recommend that. Again, if you're a collector, to me it's kind of a must-have because it gives you all of the familiar signs of the season there with a little bit of the story behind them. So that is one that I currently don't have, but will be getting sometime soon. I know it won't be too long. Yeah. We keep adding more and more.
I really like them, and like I said, I will post them. And my sister has been kind of playing around with them. The other set that I have in my view, and I just remember the name of it, I don't remember who they're by, but they're the Vintage Wisdom Oracle cards, and I've been really scoping out the artwork on them and reading on them, and they just look absolutely beautiful, and it's the artwork sucks me in. It really does suck me in. And, you know, I've just, it's been crazy when you sit here and you're playing online and all of a sudden, you know, the cards come up and you just bounce from one to another, to another, to another. And, you know, everybody's like, well, how many card sets do you need? And I'm like, well, if you ask Roxy, you never have enough.
I'm an enabler. I admit it. Well, you know, there's a lot of different styles of cards out there. There's the traditional tarot, there's the oracle cards. Again, we have that show out there, Tarot Oracle Cards. It's one of our earlier shows. Tells you what the differences are if you're new to card reading. But sometimes some are collected in my house for the artwork. Mm-hmm. Some are collected for the folklore. I have a lot of fairy decks that go into a lot of fairy folklore. It really depends on what the theme of the deck is. I think it's so cool. There are so many different types of decks out there that you can peruse that offer you all different sorts of wisdom from many different sources. So I guess that's a good segue into talking about, I try to relegate it to just a few decks that are new in my collection. But one of the ones that I recently picked up in the end of December was the Wisdom of Trees Oracle, which is for the Oracle cards by James Struthers. And what I love about this deck, besides the fact that it's packaged beautifully, it's in a gorgeous box, and it was pretty inexpensive. I think it was only $20. It has a lot of the symbolism and spiritual traditions from around the world as it relates to trees, which is really cool. The artwork is beautiful. The cards are separated into different tree categories. It comes with a great hardcover color book with it, which is pretty awesome to get something in color, let alone a really nice hardcover book. It talks a lot about the special characteristics of the trees, going from what the roots of the trees mean to what the flowers of the trees mean to what the leaves mean to what the trunks mean. And I've done a few readings with these. I really do like them. Again, the artwork is really awesome. I have to kind of resonate with the artwork just kind of on an initial glance. And I haven't seen this deck everywhere. I found it out in Northampton, Massachusetts, which is out in Western Mass in the Pioneer Valley, and they had a lot of decks on display. As always, it's always confusing. Which one do I want to add to my collection now? And I kept coming back to this one. I'm like, okay, this is the one that I want to go with. So I need to do a little more work with it, but I love, again, the idea of working with tree energies and tree spirits
and what the folklore on that is, different trees from different parts of the world. I really, really like it. I think it's a great little package, and I did take some pictures that I'll post on our page that you'll be able to see of this particular deck, and highly worth the investment. Again, I think it was just $20. For the holidays, speaking of Halloween, my husband picked up the Halloween Tarot, and this is a tarot deck, so it's not an oracle card. It's based on the Rider-Waite-Smith system. This deck was created by Kipling West, who I was terribly excited to find out is from Western New Hampshire. She's from somewhere over on that side of New England, probably not too far from where you are, Carrie. And she cited some of the inspiration for her cards, not only as vintage Halloween art and carnival art, but also New Hampshire in making these cards, which is really super cool. I'm like, oh, there's a little close to home with these. So, again, this is the Halloween Tarot by Karen Lee, and the art is by Kipling West. This was put out by U.S. Games back in 1999. So this has been on the market for quite some time, and it's one that I've, you know, seen here and there in passing, and definitely my husband made a great choice in picking it up because she is also inspired, of course, by Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas in writing the text for this. And it's really a lot of fun. It has, of course, the major and the minor arcana in it. But she divides it up into the suit of pumpkins, the suit of ghosts, the suit of bats, and the suit of imps. And it's really, again, very, very well done. I've done a couple of readings with it. I find myself just flipping through the deck to look at all the really cool art. This is another one that's probably on the affordable side, and I did notice that there is a companion book out there for this deck, which I'm hoping to get off of Amazon, which goes into more of the Halloween traditions and folklore as a basis for this deck of cards. And it's really a lot of fun. There's definitely some whimsy in here as you follow the black cat on his journey throughout the entire deck of cards. So you'll definitely have a lot of fun with this. I'm looking forward to working with it more and getting more acquainted with it, you know, especially around Halloween and around Samhain, using this, you know, for doing readings for clients that come to me. So Halloween Tarot, and again, I will put pictures up of those two decks. And then the other deck that I got, I was out in Wolfboro, New Hampshire, around Thanksgiving, and My husband's an enabler in the fact that whenever we go somewhere, he wants to go shopping. How lucky am I, right? He's like, oh, where can we go shopping? Let's go take a walk around. And I'm like, I understand why I'm with you. So we went to to this really cool little new agey shop in Wolfboro that I never even knew it existed for as many times as I've been to Wolfboro. And we came across this deck that I had my eye on, but I have not seen in the stores. It's the Beautiful Creatures Tarot. The artwork is by Jasmine Beckett Griffiths, who I'm a huge collector of her art. I have some of her artworks in my home. I also have some of her books. And the text here is by J.R. Rivera. And it is by a publisher that I'm really not typically a fan of. However, it's by Schiffer Publishing, and while this deck is, it goes for $35 list, it comes in a gorgeous box, has a great big book. The box actually has ribbons on it. You'll see the picture that I'll post of it. And this deck has 80 cards, so this is a big one. It is, while loosely based on the Rider-Waite-Smith, it definitely does have some departures in here that if you are a true tarot reader, you may not appreciate. I am going to be honest about that. The artwork is really amazing. It does combine some of Jasmine's older work, however, with some of her newer work. I think some of the strong points of this deck is some of the layout that JR has written in here that I have not seen in my travels before, but I really, really appreciate. He has a great spread in here for the family tree and heredity. So this spread helps you identify what traits you've inherited from your family members, whoever, whenever, or wherever they dwell. So you can go through traits that you've inherited from your mother, your father, and your grandparents. Very, very eye-opening. He also has spreads in here how you can work with the specific fairy deities in here called the beautiful creatures. There's some reflective spreads in here. Of course, you can do the one card as well. Very, very beautiful deck. Lots of story writing in here. He really took it upon himself to write a story for each image, which is really nice because it gets you to be acquainted with the energy of the card. And I did the family tree spread, and I have to say, to be honest with you, I really was blown away quite a bit. I didn't know what to expect with that, and it really made me sit down and write some notes. And for me to sit down and write some notes in my busy day, that's really quite a lot. So one that I do recommend, but again, just keep in mind, even though it's tarot, it has its own spin on it. So it is a little bit different, but I will post that. And then the other thing that I just wanted to quickly mention is, since coloring is all the rage, you hear about all the adult coloring books out there, and the groups and libraries are getting in on the show. I stopped at Barnes & Noble when I was out in Western Mass again, and believe it or not, I did not even know this existed. The Color Your Tarot deck. A full deck of tarot cards for you to color. Yep, and it's only $10. So $10, you get the full 78 card deck, 10 colored pencils, and the illustrated full color 64 page book. The major arcana is pretty awesome in this book. The minor arcana, not so much. Doesn't have an awful lot of creativity. They all seem to be kind of duplicates of each other. The Ace of Cups, Two of Cups, Three of Cups are pretty identical in here. But the potential for this deck and what you can do with it is really, really cool. They are they're not printed on a heavy card stock, but a card stock. It's not super thick. I think it could be probably a little bit better in that. You could really have some fun with this deck. And this is going to kind of go on the shelf for me for a little while until in my infinite time I have the opportunity to really get these cards going. But how cool, for $10, Color Your Own Tarot. It's by Liz Dean, and again, I got this at Barnes & Noble. So it's pretty cool. The decks are pretty full size. The cards are pretty full size in the deck, and again, I'll post a picture of that. And the book that I wanted to mention is a part two book for me. This is called The Goddess Companion by Patricia Morgan, and it's Daily Meditations on the Feminine Spirit. I have her other book, which is called The Goddess Path, which goes into a lot of the myth, lore, and ritual of working with the divine feminine in the goddess. And this book here, The Goddess Companion, is a really nice addition to The Goddess Path, because what it does is it has every day in here with a particular prayer to a goddess and the background and history and myth behind it. So there's prayers, invocations, chants, and songs. So there's 366 of them in here. So you can meditate on a prayer a day, or you can just go by the index, look up a particular goddess, and you can even create your own personal rituals to her based on what's in here.
But it's a really nice, little daily addition to your spiritual journey. You know, every day is just a page, so you can read it in about 5 minutes. You could say the prayer or do the invocation. And it's just really, really nice. I have it next to the bed, and you don't have to do that particular day if you don't want. You can just kind of flip to a day that's in there. And very nicely done. It goes back into all different sorts of mythology, going back to Homer's The Odyssey, going back to different writings from Rumi. It's got a lot of Native American in there, some Native American songs and poems in here. It's really, really widespread. So again, it's the Goddess Companion, Daily Meditations on the Feminine Spirit by Patricia Monaghan. And again, her first book, of course, was The Goddess Path. But I really, really like this one. It's just short and simple, really, really easy. So those are some of my recommendations as you're nesting over the winter, if you're looking to get into something. That might be a couple of suggestions that might resonate with you. So any other suggestions for our listeners as to things they might be able to get in, and then we'll kind of wrap it up with a little bit of information on Mercury retrograde?
I think that was all that. I mean, like I said, we will, each go through and list out the cards and books that we have mentioned tonight, and really, search through. And I believe Amazon and Barnes & Noble, they both let you read a couple pages or something of the books. They let you look at them, flip through, or take a ride to the bookstore and pick a little corner and flip through a book. Sometimes I find myself doing that as well, unless it was, highly recommended from a friend or something, then I'll just go ahead and order the book and jump right into it. But they are, like I said, be fully open and prepared to read them. It's not lighthearted reading. It'll definitely hit home and open your eye to some things that you may not have been aware of. But I will list all those and list the cards, and I will be on the search for the new things Roxy has mentioned now.
Wasn't me. Don't blame me.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that was the thing I had to say about books and cards.
Yeah, we are big fans, as you can see, of tarot and oracle cards. They're effective, they're fun, they're just really something interesting to pick up and ponder. Sometimes people get a little bit nervous about picking up oracle cards or tarot cards, and they're always worried about hearing something bad. And when you really get acquainted with a deck, or several decks in this case, you really start to understand that there's really nothing to be afraid of. And the messages sometimes just bring about clarity. So, having a deck at your disposal, in your magical toolkit really is a great benefit. So we're trying to take some of the stigma out of picking out your own deck, which you can do. We've talked about that before, and trying to give you some ideas as to what to use as well for your own personal needs. So hopefully some of the decks that we talked about tonight, maybe one of them will click with you. And, we're not paid. We're not sent free decks or anything. We do this all at our own expense. So so there's a little bit on our decks and how we feel about them, and I'm sure we'll continue to share as we move on in future shows. So, of course, it is Mercury retrograde. Don't you just feel it creeping up sometimes, like, oh, God, Mercury retrograde's coming. I can feel it. I can feel it. I don't know if people can account for it. I know it's here.
It's almost like you want to brace yourself.
It's true.
was like, oh no, it's coming, it's coming. I don't know. I think like right after, because it started on January 5th. I think like right after the new year, I was already starting to feel not necessarily a little bit anxious, but a little bit like something's in the air. So we are in Mercury retrograde. Oh, happy days are here again. January 5th through January 25th, so 20 fun days of having Mercury retrograde. First, Mercury retrograde is in Aquarius, and then it's going to move into Capricorn by its end. So Mercury retrograde is a great time for us to think about turning our dreams into something concrete, and to really live in our day-to-day reality. So, you know, kind of bringing that down. Right now, you know, as we're starting the year, it sometimes makes us sit down and say, all right, so what can we get a different perspective on? And I think we talked about that a little bit towards the beginning of the show this evening, where you might get new insights into old friends or relatives in your life, or maybe some of, you know, a different perspective on things that went on in your life previously. You know, getting those insights as you look back at things. You know, maybe you're carrying a misunderstanding needlessly. What can you let go of? Maybe there's a miscommunication. You know, learn to let those things go that are pulling us backwards. So now this is an opportunity for us to examine and see who our friends really are. Look at our goals and ambitions and find new ways that we can be effective in our everyday. So, again, those are some of the things we were talking about a little bit at the beginning of the show, you know, again, kind of alluding to where we're going with 2016 and, of course, Mercury retrograde, you know, kind of spinning things backwards. But we have to take that look backwards to see where it is that we want to move to ahead. We have to understand where we are. Even though sometimes when we re-examine those things, it might feel uncomfortable, but this is a great opportunity for you to shift gears. You know, maybe you have some obligations that are hanging out there. Maybe there's, you know, some that are kind of holding us back. So, you know, what can we do about those? What challenges can we take off our plate, or what can we reframe as we're working with Mercury retrograde? You know, it is a pretty strong energy, but I think with the right approach, you can go ahead and work your, you know, work your own personal magic in it, or, you know, clear those things out. So it doesn't have to be so burdensome and so scary. I mean, to me, it really is an energy that you can feel, but if you can harness that and work it to your advantage, you know, I'm all about empowering yourself. So here's an opportunity for you to do that. Did you have any thoughts on Mercury retrograde?
I think the biggest thing that I come to realize when we get into this zone, and I said it, you know, at the beginning of the show, is work on yourself first, especially in this moment, because trying to work on others and make things better for them is only going to, you know, become more of an issue and more of a problem. This is really the time to stay focused and to work on yourself and to make yourself better and to stay aligned. You know, definitely, you know, meditation and anything that can keep you on the right track. And, you know, with being in the space, anything is going to pull at you and try to, like, get you to cross over. And we all got to stay in the good. And, you know, I know I always try to focus more on myself. I don't start anything new. I want to try to, you know, work on things that are already brought up and already opened. And it's just, it's really a learning curve for everybody on how they deal with the whole, you know, it feels like it lasts forever. And, you know, what is it, a couple weeks? 20 days, and it will feel like it's lasting forever because, it, you know, everything goes crazy. You know, our electronics, our animals, the people around us, and They kind of make it hard for us to stay focused, but, you know, get into that room or that little corner that makes you feel, you know, more yourself, and come up with that book or whatever it may be you're writing, and get back to yourself and stay focused. That's going to be the easiest part of trying to stay calm and collected through this time.
I know for me, one of the things that I just did was I went through and reorganized a couple of my altars, kind of changed things up, cleaned some of my crystals that needed some hand cleaning. And while I was doing that, I was going through some clutter. So I took some clothes that I haven't been wearing and some other items. And, you know, I'm going to give those out to one of the thrift shops in town. So, you know, this is a great time to reorganize what you have, get rid of some of that clutter so you can make room for some new stuff. One of the things that you want to do, I just did it tonight just as a little thing. I changed my, your wall picture, your banner, I guess, on Facebook. I changed mine to a picture of my altar. So maybe, you know, you want to replace some of your old photos. You know, I put something up that had a lot of really good energy. I had a picture of a lot of my crystals on my altar, so I put that up this evening. You know, just do some general house cleaning so your environment is more welcoming, and clear out some of those cobwebs. You know, maybe you're thinking about, you know, where your year's going. You can't help it this time of year anyway. So maybe you can do some things to kind of boost that along, make some improvements, reevaluate where you'd like your year to go. It's really not that hard. It's all about perspective. Where you are in Mercury retrograde right now, using that energy to your advantage. And, you know, at best, you know, if none of that seems to click with you right now and you're like, Roxy and Carrie, I can't clean my house right now, and I can't donate stuff to charity. I don't have time for that. And you know what? Just go with the flow. You know, this is a time not to get, you know, all anxious about. Don't let anxiety get to you. I know for some people, they're looking at their bills from their December spending and credit cards coming in and all of that. Don't be overwhelmed. Just, you know, again, go with the flow. This time will pass. If you've got enough energy and attention that you can dedicate to moving things along, then that's great. But don't feel that it's absolutely necessary. Those are just some suggestions, and this will pass. You know, it always, retrograde always does. We all get out of it alive, even though we all freak out when it's coming. But these are all opportunities for us just to refocus and reset our intentions. So there's a few ideas for you as to what you can do throughout this Mercury retrograde. And, of course, we will be back also next week. We're going to try and put up a few shows at a time so that way you can go ahead and plan ahead to see, you know, what's going on with us. And, of course, if you can't listen to us live, don't forget you can always listen to us in the archive. But I had asked Carrie, you know, so what do we want to start talking about for 2016? And I'm sitting here thinking we're going to do some, you know, great big brainstorming. And she's like, I've got this, this, and this. And I'm like, well, okay then. So I have to thank you for being like right on the ball there with what's going on next for our shows. And of course, we're trying to give you more and more news that you can use every week, not just getting us caught up for where we are right now. But, you know, hopefully you'll be able to tune in to our next upcoming shows, which I'm really, really excited. You know, working with different issues that you might be having, offering you some support that you might need as well. You know, it's sometimes difficult to find people that are, you know, good listeners. And we're here to listen. We're, you know, we understand that life has its ups and downs. So we want to, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, healing some of the hurts in your life, overcoming some grief. In next week's session, some things that you can do to, again, refocus that energy, to give yourself a boost, to support you, and to let some of that healing in. We'll do a little bit of a meditation next week as well.
And then after that, we're going to do a reconnecting with yourself, how to get realigned. We talked a little bit about realigning this evening. So how can you get yourself healthy mentally and spiritually? Those will be two of the next shows that will be coming up next week. Is there anything that you wanted to add, Carrie, in the last 30 seconds of the show?
I think we're always open to show ideas as well. So if you ever, you know, stumble upon something that you want to know more about, definitely send them our way, and always look for updates on Healing Spirit and Beyond Facebook page.
Yeah. And we'll go ahead and post some pictures this evening that you can check out. But until next time, thank you for listening to Healing Spirit and Beyond, and we will see you next week. Many blessings
Bye.
To you. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.